This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Jennifer Hedren here. Role play level of concern later in the hour. Ray's coming up, and Mark Shapiro in about an hour. And Shapiro speak with the media yesterday, and I guess his contract is up, and he didn't really confirm or deny whether he's signed a new deal, if he's at the finish line of a new deal, but he also didn't open up any suggestion that he's leaving. So I have to believe he's sticking around, and I think he's going to be here for at least the next couple of years. And
yeah.
We'll see what we can get out of Mark in an hour, but I don't think he's intending on breaking that news on our show. So,
no, but I would think if he's not doing the – he would be, wouldn't be doing the rounds if he was on his way out, mm-hmm. I would think.
Yeah.
He was pretty – I think he, without saying anything, he said that he was expecting, I think, to be with the organization for the future. And he
right.
sort of was making it sound like there was – that he wasn't thinking this was going to be it for him. And to tell you the truth, I have not been his biggest fan since they took over for AA. But I would say in the last year or two, I'm starting to come around to what these guys are trying to do.
Oh, I don't think you're alone. That's why the timing would be very surprising if he were
yeah.
to walk now. Like, now he's got a team that's moving in the right direction. They technically made the playoffs, although it was expanded and, mm-hmm. you know, one of those asterisk-type seasons because of COVID. But now that Bo Bichette is here and Vladdy's here and Biggio's here and you've got a pretty stacked farm system by all account, you spent some money last year on Ryu and others. Like, why would you walk now? You know,
no,
you've
right.
been through the flames. Like, they took so much heat when they got here. A lot of it was unfair because people love Beeston and Anthopoulos, and here come these two guys from Cleveland that people weren't aware of. And because they were from Cleveland, everyone thought, great, it's going to be a $40 million payroll, and you know we're going to get back to the Ricciardi era where mm-hmm. he doesn't really say anything, and they want to be in the States, and they don't want to be up here. And Shapiro and Atkins have never given off that you know, vibe whatsoever. And
but they don't ever say anything, Hayes.
Their PR
no.
game was not very solid early on. It's gotten better. They have made, like Mark is an example, and I've talked to Mark
He
about
was better
this.
Yesterday. Yeah, he was
but
better.
He was not on this show for years. And mm-hmm. And that's not to say like, oh, this is the show you got to come on. But we're, you know, we have a big audience, and we've invited most people that work with the teams in the city have been on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, let's put it that way. Like, pretty
right.
much anyone prominent from the teams in the city have been on the show at some point, and Mark just never would come on.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say it on the air. I'd be like, what's this all about? Like, where is he? What's he doing? Why is he hiding? Why won't he come out and speak? And over the past year or so, he's been on the show multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been on other shows, too. It wasn't just our show that he wasn't coming on. He just wasn't kind of doing the rounds.
Well, and maybe they got the memo, you know? Like, maybe
yeah.
they got the memo that this – stonewalling and not telling people what's going on with the team is not really working. Like
mm-hmm.
ignorance is not bliss as far as this fan base goes. They want to know what's happening. And if you guys can start being a little bit more forthright and actually talking to your fan base, maybe they'll be a bit more on board with you.
Absolutely. And
yep.
to their credit, I think they've opened themselves up more to being available and giving you a little bit more. But they're not alone in that. It's not like you know, Shanahan comes on here and spills secrets based on what they're doing behind the scenes. He doesn't
mm-hmm.
either. Masai is the same way. I've interviewed Masai a bunch of times. Masai talks and talks and talks, and then you're like, okay, what does that actually mean? Where does that actually go? They've all mastered it, right? If you're an executive
right.
in pro sports and you've been doing it for a while, you master the ability to make it sound like you're really giving a thoughtful answer, but actually you're thinking about closing the door
and
on
always,
any speculation.
But always begins with, that's a great question, Brian.
Yeah.
But
that's right.
Who is the, then, if you could think off the top of your head, because, Jen, you've got tremendous experience with interviewing everyone.
Mm.
Who's a great interview that gives you actual information at the, let's say, the CEO or the president or general manager level? Like, who is... Like, I know Jimmy Benning is a guy that we kind of
mm-hmm.
have
yeah.
some fun with, but he tells you some of the truth. Like, he'll shoot from the hip sometimes. Like, who is the guy out there that media members love, because this guy will sit down and talk to you and tell you kind of not everything, but give you a little bit of insight of what they're thinking.
I can't think of anyone at the presidential level. I know like Steve Kerr is one of those guys that maybe not so much what he has to say about what he's doing with his team, but he gives you a thoughtful conversation. I think the basketball coaches are a little bit more like that, like Nick Nurse. You know,
Nick Nurse is a great interview.
Yeah, he gives you thoughtful answers, thoughtful conversation. Yeah. It's mostly on the coaching level. Like, I feel like Paul Maurice is pretty good in that respect.
John Cooper's awesome.
Yeah, John Cooper, again, another one. More coaches, and maybe that's just because we talk to coaches more, and you know, you see the media scrums with the coaches. It doesn't happen so much on a GM level, except, you know, a State of the Union type thing.
Yeah, like a sit down and stuff. It's just off the top of my head, I'm trying to think of, like, you know, amazing interviews. When we talked about it, and Hayes, you just laid it out, like Masai, Shanny, you know,
Anthopoulos is actually pretty good.
Yeah, actually, AA's really good. Like,
Gibby was great.
Yeah, Gibby just seemed like you wanted to sit and have a beer with him. Like, he's a guy that I would love to just sit and have a beer with.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You probably should. If you're in, where does he live? Florida?
He's down in Texas.
I thought he was Texas.
Yeah.
Oh,
of course, he's in
Texas,
like San Antonio or something.
Yeah.
He
might be at some of the World Series games. Maybe he's hanging out at Globe Life these days.
He could be. I wouldn't be surprised. We should catch up with Gibby. We should, because he's been working as a consultant with the Braves. So I know he was doing that, and I'm assuming he still is. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, can you think of anyone, I guess, in sports, but maybe more focused on hockey, where if you interview him, let's say you have him on the Ray and Drake's podcast, you know you're going to get the most amount of truth. You're never going to get 100% truth from anyone that's employed by a team, because that's just not going to happen, nor should anyone expect it. But is there one guy where you're like, if this guy's coming on, he's going to give us about 70% truth, and we're looking forward to that?
Player or manager or coach? Or
any of them. Any of them. Anyone.
I think although he dresses it up with a lot of fancy lawyer stuff, John Cooper gives you stuff.
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
we mentioned him. Cooper and Maurice,
Paul Maurice is, he worked in media and all that too, of course, with us, but I don't know if there's any two coaches that are better than those two. In front of the mic, like they give you stuff you don't think you're going to get, and then they also know the game, that they realize, okay, this has gone far enough, and then they zap it off. But those guys would be the first two.
I just thought of one that is not in a positive light, but in a negative light, often reveals exactly what it's on his mind to the detriment of his team, and that's Eugene Melnyk.
Yeah.
In fact, he hasn't had a microphone put in his face since that Winter Classic a few years ago, because he does say exactly what's on his mind, and it gets him in trouble.
Yeah, at some point, you know, the PR guy's there trying to unplug the mic. No more, please. You know who actually was awesome on the podcast was Torts. Mm. Yeah. He was, like, I asked him, I said, like, what happens to you when you're walking down the hallway to a presser after the game, like what happens?
What's your problem?
And he goes, I just get so pissed off. I'm like, I'm so mad. And you're like, wow. Like, he just, like, he just blew it right out, right? And he was actually really good along these sort of lines.
I'd love to interview Torts. He almost came across, I think, as being somewhat misunderstood, because I don't know if you remember, but we had him on the NHL and TSN panel years ago when he was in between jobs. And I remember him being hired, and there was this feeling like, oh, we got a real firecracker on our hands now. He's gonna fly off the handle, and he's going to have all these hot takes. And that really wasn't his personality at all. In fact, he was somewhat miscast in that role, because he didn't have that flying off the handle bit when he was just watching the game or talking about the game. It was really only the emotion that gets stirred in him when he's a coach. So he seems like he's almost two different personalities between being the coach of an NHL hockey team and just being Torts, who isn't emotionally invested in someone or some team.
Well, and Ray, you can even speak to that. Sorry, I just want to jump in. Ray, you can speak to it. These coaches are a lot different at morning skates, too, when you have your one-on-one with them. Like, I've had some fantastic conversations with Torts because he's very thoughtful. He's a really smart guy. He's a really good guy. And you know, what you see at a press conference later that night, if things have gone bad or for his team, is a lot different than what he's talking about at 10 o'clock in the morning at morning skate, because he's still pretty relaxed and still kind of just building up to the game. I don't know what type of interaction you've had with him, Ray, that way.
Well, actually, you know, when Hedge mentioned that he was at TSN, I was doing a lot of studio stuff there. And so I got to know him a little bit and have kept in touch over the years. And I would say we probably all make a picture of a person we see on TV from the clip we see. Now, for John, it's over and over and over again, this clip at the end of the games, right? Whether it's, you know, when he was sparring with Larry Brooks or he walks out of a press conference, it's like he's terrible at it at the end of the game, but he's a fantastic guy.
Yeah.
Like, I really like him a lot. He was his first show, guys. We were inside of 20 minutes, and the conversation came up, you know, could skilled players have more freedom? And I said, to make mistakes. And I said, yeah, you got to get, you know, a coach has to give Jason Spezza a room to make a mistake, because he's going to make plays that other people can't. And Torts dives in and he goes, oh, bull. And he doesn't say. And James looks over at the clock and he goes, something like, 23 minutes, I win the pool. It was unbelievable. And after, he was like, I can't believe I did that. He's yeah. like, I can't believe I just swore on television.
It just triggered something for him, right? Yeah. Like, I can't accept that. There's no way there's two sets of rules. And yeah, there's been a lot of guys over the years, people writing in that Jim Rutherford.
Yeah, Jimmy Rutherford is awesome because he just tells you what he thinks.
Yeah, and what he's going to do. Like, he quite literally told us like a month and a half ago that Matt Murray is going to be traded.
Yeah, I got to trade him. I got to trade him.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Jimmy. Yeah. Bruce Boudreaux is great too. We like Bruce Boudreaux.
Yeah. Brucey
will be pretty honest with you. There's a lot of them in pro sports, but. You know, with executives, you know, it's different. Executives, they seem to be a little bit more, I guess, enclosed and a little bit more tight-lipped, and they're a little bit more diplomatic.
More corporate, too, eh? More
Pardon
corporate.
Me? Yes,
more
much
corporate.
More. Much more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much more.
You know,
more,
like the,
not as more, much more polished, and the ability to talk without really giving you the real good stuff that you're looking for all the time.
Well, I mean, there's all kinds of guys that fill up a notepad, and coaches or managers or what have you, and then, you know, you read it back, and you're like, he said nothing. Mm. he filled up the book, but, man, there's nothing there.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what we can get out of Mark in about an hour. We're really plugging this.
I just want him to call me John, because yes. – who was it last week? It was
Atkins. Ross Atkins called Mike.
Yes. So I want him to call me John.
Yeah, he should, because that'd be a great bit. If he just starts calling everyone by the wrong name, it'd be great. So there were a couple of signings in the NHL. We had Connor Brown on in the last hour, and I think that's a pretty good deal for both sides. He had a good year. You know, he got a ton of opportunity.
Yeah.
But he's a guy I think you want around, who's willing to accept that there's going to be some growing pains. And he told us it feels similar to, you know, the first year he was in Toronto when all the young guys kind of showed up and it all worked for them because they made the playoffs that first year with Matthews and Marner, et cetera. I don't think the expectation should be the same for Ottawa, but they're better and they're younger. That deal I think made sense. And Jake Virtanen got a deal done as well. Was it 2 years at like 2.5 or something in Vancouver?
Right.
That one, yeah. To me, I feel is going to have a different reaction because, you know, Toffoli leaves for an extra $2 million. And $2 million counts, and it matters in the cap era, but
not to the fans.
I would prefer Toffoli over Virtanen. Yeah, exactly. If you could make it work, is that the comparison in Vancouver?
Okay. Yeah, there's honestly no more polarizing player in Vancouver than Virtanen. Like, people either love him or they hate him. They can't stand him, or they think he's going to be a great player. Like, it's one or the other. You know, his supporters will say he got 18 goals last year and he gets no power play time, and now he's going to be in the top six because Toffoli's gone, and because of that, he's going to be, you know, he's just going to explode and score, I don't know, whatever they think he's going to score. So there's like this wide range of possibilities for him. One of the keys, though, was he had arbitration rights. And so a lot of these contracts, they're really not the same, even though they might appear the same. Like, some guys have arbitration rights, some guys don't. Some guys are coming out of an entry-level contract, some guys aren't. So Vertanen was, his comparables were close to three. So I'd say it's a decent contract. However, I can't tell you what his upside is. I mean, the first thing he's got to do is get into shape. Like, he's 20, I think he's 23, 4 maybe, and this has been an ongoing issue for him. Like, this year when they came into the bubble, he didn't even play the first game. He wasn't in shape. And, you know, and like that, there's one, you know, the hard work thing, it is a skill. Like, it's a skill to work hard, because if it isn't, then everybody would do it. Like, it's hard to work hard, and he hasn't figured that out. If he matures, I think he could be a legit 25-goal scorer. But, I mean, he hasn't done it yet, and he's also going to be gifted it looks like, because they don't have any other cap room, at this point anyway, it looks like he's going to be gifted a top six role. I mean, like, these chances don't come along very often.
No, and the other thing, too, is what makes him polarizing, he's a local guy. Like, he's a local guy, and he's got his buddies there. It's very comfortable. Like, you know, you're born and bred. Like, we talk about, you know, guys coming home in the National Hockey League, and you talk even like a Mitch Marner, for example. It's a dream to play for your, you know, grow up and play for your team. But I think you have to embrace it, and Vertanen just seems to have that layer of immaturity to him. And I think at some point either the light's got to go on or they've got to move away from him. But he is, every time I talk to my friends in Vancouver, he's the guy that comes up. Like, you know, it's not Markstrom, it's not, you know, Hughes or anybody, it's Vertanen. Why is this guy getting screwed? Or why is this guy, you know, like, this guy should be in the press box, or he should be on the first power play. It's the wide bandwidth of a player where people don't even know what he is.
Well, they've paid him now. You know, it's not a crazy amount of money, but still, I think it was a couple of years at 2.5. I mean,
right.
And like you just said, Ray, just based on the depth chart and the cap realities, he's probably walking in and playing with, like, Bo Horvat opening night if he's in shape.
I would say right now it's Pettersson.
Okay. Well, wow.
Yeah.
Which says a lot, doesn't it? When you got a guy like Pettersson, you got Besser, you got a lot of young guys on that team, younger than him. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking about Vertanen and saying, well, we're just waiting for him to mature, and you got younger guys...
He better
are
hit.
More mature. It's sort of the argument doesn't hold up quite as strong. It struck me when I was reading today both about Connor Brown and Jake Vertanen, and they've kind of been compared and contrasted a bit because of the similar deal, similar money somewhat. And Connor Brown was almost the first thing everybody said was work ethic, work ethic, work ethic, right? And that did never get said beside Jake's name.
No.
Well, there is I mean, coaches love players with that are zero maintenance, or, you know, or next to no maintenance. And I mean, any coach I've seen that's around Connor Brown, they love coaching him. Mm-hmm. Ottawa was a great opportunity for him because he didn't, you know, he's not buried behind Nylander and Marner on that side of the ice. So he had, you know, a little more offensive chances. He was, you know, he was a big scorer in junior. Doesn't mean you're going to be a big scorer in the NHL, but, you know, the opportunity was there, and he just, like, he doesn't back away. He plays the same all the time, and coaches love that with Vertanen. And it's, you know, I mean, it's all over the map with him. And that's, again, coach can do whatever he wants. That's up to the player. You know, if he can get himself focused, you know, mature to know that it's not one game here and one game there, but, you know, the long slog of game after game after game, then he's got a chance. If not, they're paying him for, he's the number six pick in the draft, you know, for his pedigree of that, and, you know, when they got 18 goals last year.
Yeah, we'll see.
And I kind of like him as a player. When he's on, like, he's got some bite. Like, he's a big, like, he can hit and skate. He's a really fast skater and pretty good hands. I just don't know if he thinks the game at a high rate. If, you know what I mean? If the hockey IQ matches the skill set. Because there's times where I question what the hell he's doing out there on the ice.
Well, you'll see him go down the wing, you know, really, you know, a good-looking rush, and he ends up behind the net. And you're like, well, unless they turn the net around, that's not a very dangerous place.
Yeah. Maybe he's Gretzky. Maybe that's his offense, right? Who knows?
Yeah,
Maybe he's working on his lacrosse shot.
And that was the most dangerous place on the ice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll see. I don't know when we're going to be back on the ice. I guess they canceled the Winter Classic.
Doesn't it just feel crappy all the time? You see this stuff get canceled and pushed back, and you're like, oh, man.
Especially when it's so far ahead still, you know, like All-Star games for next year, we're already canceling those. Yeah, and I can see why they are, but it just seems like bad news that we were not wanting to get yet.
Yeah. Like, we've been through this before. We did it last March. Like, everything was shutting down, and, you know, we're going through this again. And
I know.
Who knows?
It's scary. It's scary. I've got an eerie feeling about this one. I talked to an executive today. I was like, what are we looking at for the date? He's like, I don't know. And that's scary where the bubble, they at least were like, yeah, we're going to create this bubble. We got all this. There's so many question marks surrounding this upcoming season here, which is actually scary if you're a fan or a media type. Even the players are concerned.
Right.
Well, didn't the players just get paid this week for the first time in a long time? Did I read that correctly?
Yeah, right. They're getting paid today or tomorrow or something like that, like 8% of their upcoming contract, I guess. But it may be prorated, right? What baseball just went through, where there's going to be a battle over that. Is it going to be, 100% of the contract minus escrow?
Well, I mean, the owner's got to pay them, and they're not making any money either.
No.
Right.
You know, like, there's not an area of goodness in this whole thing. You know, it sucks on many levels, that's for sure.
Yep, sure does.
By the way, before I leave, Hayes, how was your golf game today?
Oh, I pulled the pin. Pulled the chute, of course.
Oh.
Is there anything worse than that, Ray, when you...
But isn't the question, though, who pulled it? Because isn't O suggesting that Duthie pulled it?
Yeah, it was O that made the first call. We were all in the same boat. Listen, we're all in bed. It's 6:45. No one wants to move.
Yeah, it's dark.
It's dark. It's raining. Everyone's looking. I've got 15 different weather apps. They all say the same thing. They say, idiot, you're not golfing. Turn off the app.
No golf today. No golf for you, Borat.
And I can hear my phone. My phone's buzzing. And I know it's Duthie and it's O and Carlo, and I'm like, they're trying to make a sense of potentially playing, and could it work? And no, it wasn't going to work. And then O fires out that Duthie bailed on everyone to promote his new book, which is just so great.
And Duthie
had the receipts, of course, and posted, the text chain. But
it was brilliant.
Yeah, it was a rough call.
It just didn't happen, eh?
Didn't happen. And I was just saying this in the last hour. I went outside at around 4:20. My girls were coming home. I open up the door. My neighbor's walking in with his golf bag. And I yell out to him, like, did you play? He's like, yeah, it was perfect. I'm like, oh, it's the last thing I want to hear right now.
it might have been perfect.
Yeah.
It might have been perfect 94. At noon. It might have been perfect at noon. You know, if he's unloading the golf clubs at 4:20,
he
probably teed off about 11:30. You guys would have been making the turn at like 9:30, and that's different. That's very different.
But you know how it is, Ed. You're a golfer. If you have to cancel, you want everyone to cancel. I don't want Tiger playing today if I can't play.
No, I know.
I don't want anyone playing.
He's not playing very well, everything. If that helps you.
No, Tiger was that was a struggle early. I haven't been tracking him lately.
He's back to +3. He just bogeyed again. So
yeah, that's not good for Eldrick.
The
or anyone,
Zozo.
No matter. Anyway, we'll see where we're at tomorrow.
Yep. Talk to you later. Everybody have a good one.
There's Ray Forauer, TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days continue with rates from 0% and free winter tires with every in-stock new vehicle purchase in October. MapleToyota.com. Yeah, I guess we should be tracking the Zozo and Tiger. I knew he started slow, so I wasn't really paying attention. Because
you tuned out on him because you thought he was done?
Yeah, well, I think it's one of those tournaments where everyone makes the cut, right? There's only like 77
Yeah, I think
players.
There's 78 golfers or something you said in
yeah.
this. Yeah,
but Tiger is not in good shape, and this is it. This is his final tune-up before Augusta. So.
Wow. He'll be all right. I believe.
Yeah.
You think so, Nudes?
Hell yeah. Just why not?
He'll be fine.
He'll blind
faith. No problem.
Yeah, yeah, fine.
Exactly. Right. Adam right. Hadwin's even worse. Hadwin's dead last. He's 5 over through 8. That's not
Ooh.
Good for anyone.
No.
Role play level of concern coming up. So we've got a bunch of different entries. We
entries,
know, the way,
we know the way this works.
Wow, what was yeah. that?
You know what? Hear that?
Is that you, Hedge?
Is that you, Hedge?
Yeah, Hedge just ruined the whole show. That's a first in 7 months.
Okay,
I don't know what you just did there.
I was actually just like, I was going to bring my hands together to clap like this to show how excited I was. And yeah. I actually ripped out my cable. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
It's all good. It's fine. We're about to tee up a dumb bit. It doesn't really
yeah.
matter what it sounds like.
Oh, exactly.
It's all good here. Mark Shapiro wrote about a half an hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking. Do you understand?
I do. I really do.
One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
All right, here we go. Role play level of concern. And Jennifer Hedger is in here today. And I don't believe you've ever played this before, Hedge. There you
I
go.
Have not.
Okay, we've got some costumes.
I like it. This I like is it. My role play outfit here. These are my devil horns from an AC/DC concert from over a decade ago, and I thought
nice.
They might come in handy today.
Okay.
Excellent.
Very cool. Very cool. Was that at SARS stock? Were you walking around down?
No, this was at the Dome. This was the Sky Dome show.
Really?
Wow.
They are awesome live. Awesome live.
Oh, so good. Yep. Little yeah. Rosie with the big inflatable Rosie up on the stage. Yeah, it was awesome. And anyways, there was this woman was wearing this in front of me, and she decided to give it to me because she thought I should have them. And I still have them, and my son busts them out on New Year's Eve, and I feel like we've got a lot of life out of these.
Okay,
so.
Perfect.
Awesome.
This is a first, Noodles. How about this? We're really starting to move in the right direction.
Exactly.
We've got some costumes.
We're using props. I love
it. We've got props. All right, so. Level of concern, there are three options, Hedge. As you know, there is pine on the patio, which means you have no concern at all. There is a six-pack and maybe a shot or two. You know, you can use your own midway range of booze to basically describe a moderate level of concern. And then it's Nick Cage in Leaving Las Vegas if you're very, very concerned, all right? So we're going to go around the table. We're all going to play a role. We're all going to give our answer, and then the other two can respond. Whichever way we choose. You guys ready to play?
Ready to rock.
Okay, we'll begin with you, Hedge. Jennifer Hedger, you are a combination. Okay, this is a first as well, I believe. You are both the Blue Jays and the Raptors. The only reason the Leafs aren't in here is because we think there might be a Canadian division, which would suggest they'll be up here.
Mm-hmm.
Level of concern, you will not be playing in Toronto next season.
Whew! Okay. Well, I would have said, if you had asked me this in June, this would have been a pint of beer on the patio, no problem. Because I assumed back in June, like a lot of people, that this would have kind of passed us by now. By October, we would be cool, everything would have sorted itself out, and we'd be looking at normalcy again. And as we know, absolutely nothing's changed for us as far as our living day-to-day goes. So my level of concern is 12-pack, and I think there would also be some sort of a Jaeger chaser in there somewhere. I don't think it's going to happen. The borders are still closed. People don't want to be hanging out in crowds. I don't see either the Jays or the Raptors playing next season north of the border. And
it's just
sucks.
Shocking to even
and
suggest
and
that.
I would not have even believe myself saying that back in May or June. Again, because I said I thought we would have been a lot further ahead than we are right now.
I thought the Jays still could have pulled it off this past year. I didn't think they had to be in Buffalo. I think you could have put rules in place that they could have made that work, but I understand why the government decided not to. They chose not to. The Jays had to figure out another plan. But you know, I'm kind of with you. I'm halfway there. I can't say I'm a pine on the patio right now that they're both going to be up here. I'm not quite Nick Caging it yet because it's still early. It's October, and you know the Jays with their schedule, and they could push back their home opener to mid-April You know, that's a long ways away. That's 5 months, 6 months away. And, you know, but the Raptors might be playing as early as mid-January. That's a different story. Like, that's coming up on us quick.
And it's indoors, and it's getting it's getting teams back and forth across the border. Like, that's the biggie.
Yeah, it is.
That's why I'm Nick Cage. Play it, Miles.
You're Nick Cage on that?
You can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
Okay, let's not forget. It's only one person is playing the role here, Noodles. You're getting off the rails here again. You're allowed to play Nick Cage if you choose. It's your show, but I have someone else for you.
Together.
Oh, yeah, I forget. See, this is Hedge.
Hedge
this is
the Jays and Raptors.
Listen,
we're just responding
to
Hedge.
These horns have got Noodles all flustered.
Throw Noodles off. Noodles confuses this every single
time. I wanted to jump in. I know. Last time I gave a percentage.
Yeah, you're like, I confirmed 22%. I'm like, what the hell are you doing over there?
I apologize.
Okay, I got someone for you here. All right. I got to keep you active. You're starting to lose it over there.
Yeah.
Noodles, you are Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje. You will be in the octagon with Khabib on Saturday night. Your level of concern, Khabib is going to crush you on Saturday.
Mulls, play it.
You
even
can
though
never.
Wait a minute.
Never ask me to stop drinking.
Even though he's a fantastic fighter, like it's not going to be a cakewalk whatsoever, but I mentioned it. I think it was yesterday's show or the day before. That Khabib just scares me looking at him. He's being interviewed on TV by Aaron Bronstetter, and I'm like scared to look at him.
Bronstetter's like nervous too. You could tell, and he's not
and
even.
That's through
he's
a
halfway
Zoom.
Around the
it's
world.
Through a Zoom.
Jamie, did you see? Did you notice in that video though? And if anyone saw SportsCenter yesterday, it was Zoom, as everything is. But but Khabib was like down in the lower corner of the screen, right? It was totally off center.
Yeah.
And so our tech guy at SportsCenter says, "Hey, Khabib, do you mind just moving the camera over to your center?" And he goes, "No." And that was it. So no, we're not moving the camera. And they did the whole interview with him in the corner.
I love that. Why would he help? You know, he's we're only trying to promote your fight. But yeah, okay. Yeah. Although, look at me, I'm talking smack. Khabib is going to come into the studio one day.
He doesn't care. Like, you know what he cares about is destroying people.
Yes.
And he's really good at it. And I just, I think
he's
going to dominate.
I think he's tough on Saturday. I think he's going to win, but Gaethje can fight.
But my understanding, too, and we have to mark our calendars, it's an afternoon fight, right?
Like you said, they're overseas.
It's because of the time. Yeah, they're on Fight Island, which is in the United Arab Emirates. So I think it's like the main event card starts at 2 p.m. Eastern time. So they're probably an hour after that or something. But I don't know what time that is on Fight Island.
That's going to throw everything off and everyone off.
That's what I mean. I usually like my Saturday night. If I'm watching that, I'm sitting, you know, it's 10 o'clock at night. You're watching that.
They're walking into the octagon at midnight.
Right.
Probably. You know, maybe later than that. Sometimes as late as 12:30, 1 o'clock. All right. I am Mike Trout. What is my level of concern that my greatness is being overlooked because the Angels suck every year? I got to go with a six-pack and a couple of shots. You know, maybe a few shots on this because I should be a pint on the patio because this is a sport that is more dedicated to the numbers than any other sport. And every stat nerd on earth knows that I am the king. Mike Trout is the king. Wins above replacement. Every single saber metric you can look at. The way I defend, the way I run the bases. When I was a rookie, I stole, I think, 49 bases. I don't even do that anymore because I don't have to. But everyone's jumping on the Mookie Betts bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Seager's getting love and Bellinger's getting love. Now Brandon Lau all of a sudden is my category because he hit two home runs last night. The Angels suck, but they're paying me over $400 million. So would I like to be playing playoff games? Yes. But am I okay with the cash? And my numbers speak for themselves. So I'll go somewhere in the middle. You know, Mike Trout is still a beast. I don't think he has to be too worried.
Every baseball insider that you hear talk about any of these guys in the World Series, they start it with, well, Mike Trout's the best player in baseball. And then they go on to make their point. So I think Mike's going to be okay.
I think he's okay. This one might not be so confident. Hedge, you are Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
All right? You are Baker Mayfield. Level of concern, the Browns will not pick up your fifth-year option. Hence, you are basically coming to the end of your reign as the quarterback in Cleveland.
Do we have the Nick Cage sound?
Yeah.
You can never asked me to stop drinking.
Very appropriate for this one.
I think Baker might start drinking. Wrote down a couple of the stats here. 29th in completion rate is Baker Mayfield this year. 26th in yards and passer rating. Bottom line, he's not living up to the expectations that everybody had for him. And people would say, well, the Browns are still winning. They're 4-2. They got blown out in week one to Baltimore, and they got blown out against Pittsburgh. But they're still 4-2. And people would say, well, they're only winning because of everybody else around Baker Mayfield. They're not allowing the team to lose despite Baker. He sounds very defensive yesterday in his press conference. He's got Odell Beckham's got his back, which is obviously the kiss of death.
Yep.
That guy, that guy is the one that's going to tell you it's going to be all right, buddy. So, yeah, I think I don't know who they're going to bring in. But is Baker Mayfield the answer for all that ails the Browns? Are going to take them to their to the Super Bowl? That's a no guy.
No, it's a Nick Cage. I'm getting concerned. I've been a Baker supporter, and we had a little wager going earlier in the year that will be brought up by the end of the year. Baker Mayfield versus Jared Goff. And it's not even close right now. Goff has been much superior. I think they're both actually 4-2, though. But Baker should be getting nervous. I don't dispute that either. Noodles, you are Kyle Dubas, the architect of this new look Maple Leaf team. Level of concern: your team will be too slow this upcoming season.
It's not Nick Cage for sure, 100%. But I don't think it's a pint on the patio. It's a Mickey of Tito's.
Oh.
So just in the middle.
That can be damage if it's quick.
Yeah.
If it's quick.
That's still a big night, I think, Noodles.
Well, yeah. Depends. You know, if you stretch that out over four or five hours
yeah, okay.
and you're sipping on it.
Yeah, that's like relaxed.
I think what you do is you sit back and you allow it to unfold because your top players are still going to be your top players. That's been established. But it is the bottom of the roster needs to be used. And we don't know how fast Barabanov are. We don't know how fast Lettinen is. So if those guys have some wheels, you're really just looking at Spezza and Thornton. And then what happens is exactly what happened in Edmonton. When they signed Lucic, they're like, that team's slow. Well, but everyone around them was really good skaters.
Good move,
It was like, that's what I think what is going to happen here in Toronto is you're looking at Thornton and Spezza and saying, okay, they're not speedsters, but everyone around them are good skaters, you know? So, I'm going to go a Mickey of Tito's.
Yeah.
But overstretched out over time.
I think that's appropriate. I think it's somewhere in the middle. Yeah, because they are slower. Like, they are quite literally slower than they were, obviously, Kapanen and Janssen off the team.
Correct.
For Thornton and even Simmons. You know, Simmons is not as good of a skater. But Brody can skate, right? Like, we haven't focused on that.
Skater.
TJ Brody can move. So there's some compensation there. I am whoever signs Antonio Brown. Level of concern.
Play it.
Just play it. I don't need
to play it.
Can never, never ask me to stop drinking.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the rest of the concern was. It could be level of concern that you're going to drink water tonight.
Anything
associated with Antonio Brown is a level of concern. And my concern would be that my quarterback has been pushing for it because he looks at the stats. He looks at what he did in Pittsburgh. And if you isolate, the five big years in Pittsburgh, they are like all-time great seasons. Like, Antonio Brown had a 4 or 5 year run where he was the best wide receiver in football, and his numbers were off the charts, like gross off the charts. But he hasn't taken a snap now in about a year and a half. I don't know what the hell this guy's doing away from the field. I would be terrified that he's going to poison the room, derail the season. It's going to get ugly. Nick Cage, absolutely.
For sure.
We got a few more here. Hedge, you are tonight's debate moderator. Okay, so we got Trump v. Biden. Tonight. Yeah. Level of concern, the mute button will have no effect on the chaos tonight.
I would say I would go up from a Mickey of Tito's and maybe get a 26er on that one. I mean, I was reading today, like, first of all, who is the person on the button?
It's someone from CBS, I believe.
Okay, so it's someone off to the side. I did read that Trump's team is going to have someone standing over that person monitoring the situation, and I don't know what they're going to do if they think he's being muted at the wrong time or not, but I think it's despite the mute button, which apparently is only going to be used for the 2 minutes that each person has to talk,
right.
It's still going to be a gong show, because you know that the mute button, just because we can't hear Trump, doesn't mean that he's not going to be just beaking at Biden. And it's still going to be distracting for Biden. And he's the one who's got to get drawn in to the lunacy, drawn into the back and forth. So I don't think it's going to have much to do with anything, except for the viewing audience isn't going to have to hear it for those 2 minutes. But I will have my popcorn, and I will be watching that.
So it's a must-see event tonight.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Must-watch TV.
I wish it was like a game show and each one of them was in a booth.
Yeah, and they had to have a no whammies, right, where you have to hit the button to be able to answer the question.
Yeah
like it just, it is going to be a form of a circus. I have no idea how, but I agree, Hedge. I think if he's going to find a way, and if his people are standing over the mute button, they're going to make sure that Biden gets muted as much as Trump.
Oh, yeah.
So
you got to have equal muting, I guess.
He's so desperate, right? Because I think the polling right now is showing that Biden's ahead.
Oh, yeah, substantially ahead.
The only thing more unhinged than Donald Trump is Donald Trump, who's afraid he's going to lose, right?
Right, but it is, you know, that was the case 4 years ago, too. Hillary was always...
They had Hillary ahead by 14 points,
she
I think, at one
too,
point.
I mean.
And I don't know. I've said this before to you guys on this show. Like, I have buddies who are, you know, live in the States and that are Democrats that are concerned. You know, they're...
Yeah.
After four years ago, that shock, you better not be shocked again if it happens.
There's no sure thing, which I think is why they're continually get out and vote, because you can't just assume that your neighbor's going to go vote the way that you would like.
Well, exactly, and that's the thing. Yeah, the voter turnout has been way higher so far this year compared to 4 years ago, but that doesn't mean that that's not applying on both sides. I would suggest it probably is. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's more Republicans voting now than they have in years.
Yep.
Who knows? I mean, we'll find out. Noodles, you are Sacha Baron Cohen. Level of concern that Borat 2 is being overhyped and will not meet expectations.
Yeah, I'm going to be that Mickey of Tito's again. Like, I said this to you, Brian, before, like, you know, it's not PC, those movies, right? And so those movies aren't for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts acting up and doing some of the things that he's done in previous movies. You get one or two bad reviews, you get the cancel culture people after you, you know, it could be a spicy meatball for him. So I think he's probably in the middle of the road there, worried about that. So I'm going to say a Mickey of Tito's.
Yeah, I would be there with you, because I think the first one was so good.
Like, it was so funny.
The original Borat was
funny.
Spectacular. And I just find it far-fetched to believe that anyone could fall for it still. You know, like,
yeah.
I guess Rudy Giuliani is one of them. But
everybody knows who he is now. So how much can you pull the wool over people's eyes? The thing that was sort of the kiss of death for me is I saw Amy Schumer tweeted out last night that it's hands down the funniest movie she's ever seen.
Yeah, there's no way. Like,
so it's
just,
like, well, come on. I can't believe that.
Yeah, that seems a little bit far-fetched. But I will be checking that out as well. All right, the final one. I am my own Halloween candy. Level of concern, you will survive until Halloween.
You can never,
Attaboy balls.
Never ask me to stop drinking.
That's right. Yeah. There's full carte blanche for Mullen.
You can never ask me to start.
He can read my mind. It's got no shot. Like, it is disappearing on the hour, by the hour.
Yep.
And there's just no way, man. There's no way it's going to be here next Saturday. I'm going to have to go out every year, the Walk of Shame. I go back out and buy two more boxes because I've eaten it all before it even got here.
You're stocking it right now? You already have it in your house?
Yeah. Because it's like, my wife knows you're going to eat it anyway. So here's your two boxes, wink,
here
wink, that
go,
are for
dear.
The kids.
Yeah.
You go take those down, and then she'll send me out in about, probably on Friday, to go pick up whatever's left. Basically.
Well, you wear it well, Brian, because I tell you, I saw that where it started and how it's going.
Yeah.
And you look 10 years younger and at least 30 pounds lighter than where it started.
More than that, Hedge, I can guarantee.
Is it really?
Oh, Hedge, it was. That before picture wouldn't be used for the before. It wasn't appropriate enough.
That's not good, eh?
Yeah, it was Phil after a long shift.
Yeah,
I don't even remember you looking like that, to tell you the truth.
Well, that's good. It's been a long time. It's been like 6 years since I kind of got it on the rails.
No, so. Well, good job. I don't even believe that you're pounding those snack-sized Twix bars.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it's all a facade now. Yeah. Maybe.
Now he
who
is.
Knows? No, it's happening. It's not a facade. It's real. Yeah. It's happening for sure. Mark Shapiro coming up, president and CEO of the Blue Jays, in about 15 minutes. We've got Jabari Greer as well in the football game tonight. We'll get into the World Series and what went down last night. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Mark Shapiro coming up in about 10 minutes. Jabari Greer in the next hour. Get back into the World Series. And first game of Week 7 tonight. It was a year ago today, opening night, Raptors-Pelicans, when the rings were handed out. Year ago tonight. If you can believe that.
Wow.
Yeah,
time is flowing, but that seems like a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
I was going
to
say, I thought you were going to say time has flown by. I'm like, dude, that was only a year?
Yeah, it has not flown by. It is moving at a slow pace. And
yeah, right.
A lot of people wondering, you know, what were you doing and what do you remember from that night? I was in a building. I remember that. And Larry Tannenbaum personally handed me my tier one replica ring, although it does say replica on the box.
Right.
That's just to throw people off.
Yeah.
But I'm going to wear the ring in the final hour. I'm sure Mark Shapiro will appreciate that. But shout out to the Raptors a year later. We don't know when they're going to play or where they're going to play. They might play down in Louisville, Kentucky next year.
And they're not getting love on the rankings for next year, I'll tell you that.
No,
I think it would be crazy if they did. I mean, when you look back at a year ago, though, if you were told that they were going to have as great a season as they did, that would be a surprise.
It was.
I think they overachieved this year. And, we'll always have 2019.
We will. Maybe 2021. We'll see what happens, all right? Jabari Greer and Mark Shapiro coming up in the final hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.